1 to first saved message.
Hey Bill, Tim, wanted to wish Radio Freak America a happy 30th.
Saved message, Saturday, 12:01 a.m.
Hey, what's up? This is Richard Oak right here. Hit me back up on this number, girl. You know what's up.
Hi, this is Mary Chan, and you're listening to Radio Freak America.
That was so degrading.
Hey, you know, it's Enron. What do you expect?
I guess. So I guess they got what they were asking for.
Yeah, well, they're selling off all the stuff. It's amazing. I don't know how long it'll be going on, but dovebit.com, you can get the, that was a live audio stream, and you can actually get download a little client and bid for all the junk.
The junk?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it's good stuff in there. Those are like Tektronix audio analyzers and dual cabinets, 19-inch racks that hold two of these audio analyzers in a rack and all this other stuff. But they had, like, you know, Nerf balls with Enron logos, and they've got 300 Arion chairs, and they've got servers, and they've got firewalls, and they've got, you know, boxes of mice and everything. It's just incredible.
Garbage cans?
I don't know if there was Enron garbage. They did have a lot of shredders. I did notice that. A lot of paper shredders.
Oddly enough, they had shredders. Hey, do you know that War Linux 0.5 is out?
Yep, I tried it.
Okay, I tried it also. Now Kismet. Now let me go back to 0.4. 0.4. First of all, Kismet did not work in 0.4, and contrary to popular belief, fixing the War Linux entry in etc/host did not make Kismet work. It does work in 0.5. Kismet does work. I don't think it uses patched Orinoco drivers if you're using a Lucent card. I think you have to do it yourself, I'm just assuming, because that didn't work for mine right out of the box. And also for Prism 2 chipset cards, it uses the Orinoco drivers again. So
they can't be expecting you to patch the kernel with its, the whole distro is built to live on the CD.
Yeah, well, I don't know how difficult that would be, but all I was getting, it didn't pick up my access point. I could sniff, right, and I could just sniff regular Ethernet traffic, but I wouldn't get 802.11 headers, so, you know, frame. So I don't know if you're supposed to do it yourself. I'm going to get a Cisco card. I've already ordered a PCM352 in integrated antenna, so I'll check that out, and I'll let you listeners know if that's working.
That way we should probably even introduce ourselves here.
Oh, I don't feel like it. Go ahead, you do it.
All right, the wacko on the other end of the line is Dual, and the wacko on this end of the line is Rax.
Yeah, this is Radio Freak America, and you're listening to it.
Episode number
30. God damn.
Long time, man.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. A lot of time. Dude, I'm hungry. I'm so hungry.
We're supposed to eat before you went on the air, man.
I did. I didn't get a chance. I was mixing. We're recording now. We're doing this, listeners. We're recording right before we stream. I mean, this is like as close to live as you can get. We're recording right before we stream, mixing it down. You know, and there's relatively no editing, and then piping it out. And so I'm running home from work. I'm, you know, slamming a Sobe, maybe, if I'm lucky, and dropping in the chair, mixing it up. I mix it up now because we got a little late start. So, yes, yeah, it's kind of hectic. It's really hectic, actually.
Yeah, well, that's life, yeah.
That's right, that's life. You know what, Rax? I've got something for you. We've talked about this on the show before. No, hold on, I gotta pull the mic away from the phone. Hold on 1 second. Here we go. I hope you'll be able to hear this. I'll turn it up. Here we go.
Lake Havasu Chamber of Commerce, this is Marion.
Hi, Marion. This is Captain Zeta Jones.
Hi.
So you're in Arizona, right?
That's right.
Okay, so what's the deal? Is it true you have the London Bridge there?
I'm looking at it.
Well, I'm calling on my new T-Mobile phone. I have all these whenever minutes, so I can call long distance anytime, talk for as long as I want, so I have to hear the story.
Well, it goes back to 1962. The London Bridge was, well, falling down.
Yeah.
So the British put it up for sale, and this guy in Arizona bought it.
Why? Who needs a bridge in the desert?
Well, he had a lot of money.
What a bitch! What a bitch!
Trying to be funny.
Dude, she's not... first of all, I don't know who she is. I don't know who the fuck.
Oh, she's...
I'm swearing tonight, man. I'm feeling pretty brash tonight.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers. I'm feeling it.
Now, right. You gotta, like, you know, eat your food and take your little lithium pill.
Maybe, man. Maybe I should just go grab that box of peanut butter crunch and eat it, you know, with my hands. First of all, I don't know who Catherine Zeta-Jones is. I have no idea.
She's an actress.
Whatever. And I've seen her on these commercials. I've seen her on TV. She's not that hot.
Hot.
She is not.
Yeah.
I've seen way hotter
chicks. In fact, you know what? Actually, today is her birthday. Both her and Michael Douglas are born on the same day, but Michael Douglas is 25 years older than she is.
What, are they married?
Yeah.
Now, I know who Michael Douglas is.
Yeah.
He was in, like, Fatal whatever, right?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Now, let's listen to the rest of this T-Mobile spot here.
So we just went around buying up bridges?
Only this one.
So, did they ship it over, fly it over? Come on, I need the details here.
With T-Mobile, you get the most minutes to use whenever you want, wherever you want. That's 600 nationwide whenever minutes, plus unlimited weekends for just $39.99 a month. All with free domestic long distance and roaming anytime, day or night. Call 1-800-T-Mobile.
Introducing T-Mobile. Get more.
Limited time offer available in select markets. Service agreement required. Additional restrictions apply. See printed materials for details.
Let's say you...
Okay, any Rant Radio listeners that just came in during that spot are going to be freaking out. By the way, Rant Radio sold out. And they're now sponsored by T-Mobile. That was that's a stupid spot, first of all.
First of all, she's an actress. She just reads whatever they stick in front of her face.
I guess so, yeah. They just put a lot of money in her pocket and she does
it. Yeah, actually, I've got a story now with T-Mobile. It happened just the other day. It was talking to my buddy Feedback. And he's got a voice stream now, T-Mobile wireless as well. And we were talking. Now, I don't know if it was triggered because I pulled my headset out. You know, I usually drive around with the headset on the cell phone so I can keep both hands on the wheel. And I also find it helps me concentrate better on driving. But anyway, so we were talking. I pulled the headset out, and I could hear him, but he couldn't hear me. So he hangs up, and he figures, well, it's his phone. He was maybe in a bad coverage area. So he calls me back from a landline 3 times. 2 out of the 3 times he called my cell phone back. He got something like Bullet Wireless.
Bullet?
Bullet Wireless or something. Not Bullseye, but Bullet Wireless. Something like that. He didn't pay too close of attention. and got that two times in a row, and then on the third time, this is from a landline, mind you, got it back. And so we were joking around. It's like, he said, feedback goes, yeah, you should call T-Mobile and tell them. I said, yeah, that never happened with Jamie Lee. I never had that kind of shit when Jamie Lee was here.
That's right.
Catherine on the phone, I'm pissed.
Zeta's a bitch. She can't handle my wireless calling needs. T-Mobile's a stupid name, first of all.
It's Deutsche Telekom.
Who?
Deutsche Telekom, the German telephone company.
Germans bought Verizon Wireless.
Yeah, I mean, they're buying all kinds of, you know, first they bought Chrysler, now they bought VoiceStream. What do you expect, man? Taking over.
And their little soundbite is dumb as well. Don't like it.
Their little xylophone sound?
Yeah, is that a xylophone? I don't know what it was.
It sounds like the Intel Inside kind of audio.
Yeah,
audio.
It does. It reminds me of that a lot. Well, so I recorded that for you. By the way, listeners, that was recorded on analog tape. If you don't have analog recording devices, VHS, cassette, you're missing it. You're losing it. It is so, so effective. Hang on to that analog stuff. Very useful.
No, Duel, you're just too old school. You like hang around with old computers and that too. I'd rather play with new computers. You know,
I guess.
Old crap. I dealt with analog. I dealt with tape hiss and that. What would have been the difference if you would have held a digital audio recorder up to the speaker of the radio when you were recording that? Nothing.
I don't know. I just think it's a good idea to make sure you always have that capability because you never know. You never know. You just don't. I met lots of people that believe that too. A hacker named Past It. Another hacker named Crash. They'd tell me the same things. And I was like, yeah, man, you understand me.
It sounds like the feds are coming out for you there.
Can you hear them?
I can hear them.
Oh, no kidding? Yeah, I got the window open. We had a little problem with the stickers. People were reporting that mail was being sent back to them. So I went to the old USPS. By the way, that's the USPS Postal Inspector badge on the website. Went down to the old post office, and I've fixed the problem, straightened it all out, so there should be no more problems. Mail in your money, and we'll get you the stickers.
Can I say I told you so?
Yes, you can. You're right. Well, no, because one made it through.
Well, I mean, someone wasn't paying attention, but when they started to get more of them.
You're right. You're right. Yes. So, and I've also got a great sticker, a great story about some stickers. This is from Turmoil, and these are about the old stickers that we used to hand out as swag, you know, like the labels, the phone on it. They're pretty cool. By the way, they fit perfectly on payphones. I don't know if you noticed that. So this is a story from Turmoil, a little amusing story. My brother works in a bookstore, and he has to wear one of those giant name tag necklaces with an ad for the special thing that they're doing for that month on it. So I grabbed one of the old school freak stickers, and he stuck it on there, and it's been there for a few weeks now. Oh, yeah. So instead of a big ad for frickin' Lord of the Rings, you know, or Hannibal, you know, or the latest Stephen King novel, latest kooky murder mystery, it's got old school freak, baby. That's right. That's right. Eat it, media.
You're being eat the media?
That's right. Eat it. Eat it, media. Oh, yeah. Oh, and a message also for Terminal. Oh, yeah. Very cool thing you did with the phone card. Speaking of the phone card, I checked it.
Can you just do a call and see how many minutes are left?
You want to do that right now? Okay, good. Now, let me preface this by I checked, when I gave out the number right after the show, I checked how many minutes were left on the card. It was 400. I actually have it written down in my little freak notebook.
It's a very analog notebook.
That's right. The most powerful tool a hacker or freak can have, and that's pen and paper. Okay, somewhere I wrote it down. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Well, that's one bad thing about this. It's okay.
There's no the search capability. So
I was just going to say that. September 18th, 497 minutes left on a 575-minute MCI rechargeable prepaid phone card. Let's just let's fake a call here and see how many minutes are left. Okay.
Welcome to MCI. For English, press 1. Take advantage of our low recharge rate of 3.5 cents per minute.
I hate those advertisements.
Press the star key after entering your PIN to add time using your credit card. Please enter your PIN now. make a call, dial 1, area code, and phone number now.
All right, fake number.
International
it if you want.
Calls. You have 484 minutes for this call.
Rax.
44.
484 minutes, so a grand total of 13 minutes have been used in a week. And I might have used a minute or two checking on it. That is just unbelievable. I can't believe it'd be around. I thought the next day it would be, you know, it would be half gone. So what is today? The 25th. Keeping track now. Weekly track. 484 minutes. So, hey, that's fine. Shit, now I can use it. So that was Turmoil's story. Thanks, Turmoil. Thanks for the show notes. I also want to thank Condor for pointing out that my public key was not public. I mean, people might want to encrypt their their transmissions to Old School Freak. They might want to make sure that their data is secure as they're sending it to us. You know, stories for the show, articles, who knows? You know, love notes, stuff like that. So, again, Condor pointed that out. It's up on the site. His is up there, too. He's got his Old School Freak email address again. And use it. You know what? And use encryption, if anything, for the exercise of using encryption. I use GPG, you know, basically on the command line. It's I feel much more comfortable with it. I've tried PGP with Outlook Express. I tried that like for 5 minutes. God, that sucked.
Well, there's also WinPT, Win Privacy Tray, which puts a GUI in front for Windows people.
And it's better than the PGP.
It uses GPG for Windows, but it puts a Windows GUI for it, and it stays down in the tray on your taskbar, and you know it's always there whenever you need it.
Well, very nice. There you go, listeners. There you go. I always I'd opt for the command line when I can. It's very efficient.
Speaking of encrypting things, I took and reset up my email server to allow me to do SSL web connections for doing my email.
Very nice. Is that the one you had me scanning?
Yeah.
Okay. And it works now.
Yeah, I got that all going and had to fuss with some stuff on the firewall and that, but got that all up and set. But I thought about it. You know, it like when I was at DEF CON, and it could have been the same thing at H2K2. But you know, if anyone was checking their email, you know, wirelessly.
Oh my God.
To figure how many people are out there sniffing. So they had the whole like I still have to digitize that video and I'll put it up on the site sometime. But my video from. From DEF CON, but there's this whole wall of sheep with people's username and passwords. We're just, you know, going out and just checking their email wirelessly. It's like,
lovely.
Oh yeah, good idea. It would even be bad enough doing it hardwired.
That's right, on a big freaking hub. Yeah, my wired machines, now my WAP is wide open. Anybody can stop by, park in front of my house and use it. Everybody knows this. But anything wired, of course, it's wireless hub and, you know, wireless router, I should say, and a 4-port switch. So it is on a switch network, not to mention it's firewalled. So, yeah, don't use anything that you want to secure on a wireless network unless you're part of that network and you know it's secure.
Or unless the only real way to secure things now, even Cisco's Leap technology is not, you know, all that efficient. The only really real way to secure anything is by using a VPN client. So you have to put the access point in the DMZ, in the demilitarized zone, the same kind of area that you would put like your web servers and other things that are internet accessible. So you put them in a DMZ, and then you have VPN set up on the client. So like your laptop that you're connecting wirelessly to your network with, have a VPN client on there, and then have VPN enabled on your firewall. And that's the only real way to secure wireless at this point.
You sound like you're practicing for the meeting coming up, the 2600 meeting.
Oh, well, that's just stuff in general.
Okay. That's not your presentation?
Remember, I do this for a living, too. So.
That's true. You know what? Before we go on with more wireless, because I've actually got a few things. Last week, we pimped stankdog.com and rootsecure.net. And I've got another great site I want to pimp this week. And it's from Sweden. It's called wargames.unix.se. It's a great site. They got hacking challenges, box to roots, awesome old-school logo. Cool old school name, so I enjoy that site. I've utilized some of those hacking challenges on another site, and they're a blast. So go check that out, wargames.unix.se. Plus, you know, you get a taste of the world, man. Get out there.
Was it on Root Secure? They from last week, I was checking things out, and they had a little audio clip of you pimping them. And they also had our H2K2 video on there.
Yeah, right on.
All kinds of little things.
No shit, yeah.
And you pointed out that I got quoted on the HackerMind message board.
Yeah, and what was the quote?
So it's someone in their signature, you know, quoted and said, I'm only here for the chicks.
Rats,
right. RFA, episode number 29.
I'm just here for the chicks. And that's so true. I mean, we got chicks throwing themselves on us because of the show.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
oh, that's
now let me, let's get back to let's get out of fantasy land and let's get back to wireless here for a minute.
Okay.
Speaking of having open access points and that, you know, something dawned on me. And I, you know, much the same way as Dual, is that I have my computer secured. I have my wireless access point that also has switched ports built in, so I'm hardwired for my machines at home, and then I have wireless. And anyone who, you know, happens to drive by, they can get access into it and whatever. Now, I have things locked down, and by using the little personal firewalls, you can, you know, lock most of that type of stuff down. The problem is that when you are granting or denying access, it only does it on layer 3. It only does it based on IP address. Well, the default setting is a Linksys, let's see the model number here, Linksys BEFW11S4 is the model. And by default, it had a DHCP lease of 1 day. So my IP addresses were changing on my workstation. So whichever one I happened to boot up first, you know, that would get the first available one and so on. So I played around with it, went into it, found I could set it up for like 21 days, I guess now is the maximum least length, so I don't have to change those every time in both of the machines. But had someone do some searching around, and they found one, a personal firewall, that allows you to grant or deny access based on the MAC address, based on the Layer 2 address. So that never changes. Again, the MAC address is kind of like your social security number. Once you get that, wherever you move in the country, you keep the same social security number. The IP address, the Layer 3 address, is like your street address. And when you move to another city, you get another street address. So locking things down based on MAC addresses is a little bit more secure in that regard. So it's Zelos Personal Firewall, X-E-L-I-O-S, Zelos.com. Haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but I guess it's like $40. But it does allow you to do that based on MAC address.
Okay, now what impact, because there are wireless NICs where you can change the MAC. What impact does that have on this Zelos firewall?
Well, you'd have to know what wireless NIC had the authorization.
Okay, so then you're, well, that's what I'm saying. Then how is it open at all to anybody?
Well, no, what I'm doing is I'm leaving my access point open.
Right.
As you know, in the access point, there's a place where you can grant or deny based on MAC address. I'm leaving that wide open, but I'm saying my workstations,
okay,
I am firewalling them individually. I have a, you know, the individual firewall on each workstation, firewall-like software.
Okay.
So by using this other one that locks based on MAC address, I'll say allow this MAC address from my secondary workstation, allow this MAC address from my laptop access to my primary workstation. So, again, that allows all my stuff to get to access to my other resources. If you're from the outside and you don't have that MAC address, you won't get to my resources on my computers. You'll still be able to get out to the Internet, but you will not be able to get to my computers.
Gotcha. Very nice.
Oh, and again, if you did know, and yes, you can change the MAC address, if you, but you would, again, have to know which MAC addresses are on.
Right. And unless you're sniffing, and yeah. So that sounds like a really good idea, actually. Especially for $40.
Yeah, that would make it much more difficult. And what you started to say there was, unless you sniff the traffic.
I was going to say that, but
I mean, let's be full disclosure. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it needed to be said.
Well, you could sniff the traffic and get the headers of the MAC addresses, and then you'd have to go through a bunch of stuff. So it just raises the level of difficulty.
It does. And we're talking, what were we just talking about? We're talking about sniffing wireless traffic. We're talking about vulnerabilities. We're talking about adoption of this this technology. You know, wide adoption in a very short period of time. When things like this happen, there's bound to be massive amounts of stupidity. And we're finding that. We're seeing that right now. Everybody remembers Mr. Puffer, I believe, who in Houston demonstrated a vulnerability in a wireless network for some government agency, their local government agency. And, of course, he's been indicted, I believe, which is absurd. And the Houston Chronicle is continuing to write about it. And here's what they wrote. Here's just a snippet of what the Houston Chronicle wrote about wireless technology. Blah, blah, blah. How the system could be accessed with a laptop and phone card, a practice known as war driving. Let me read that again. A system could be accessed with a laptop and phone card, a practice known as war driving. Unbelievable.
And well, they don't know what they're talking about.
Hey, man, wow, I gave phone card to all the listeners.
Oh,
everybody,
any network anywhere in the world.
That's right, now you can go war drive. Take those numbers and go war drive, you know. Write it on another piece of plastic, and you can magically get into networks. There's more stupidity.
I think somewhere, too, they called Puffer, they said, a self-styled computer consultant, so they're even dissing him on that.
Yeah, poor guy dresses pretty fashionably for, you know, Texas, and he gets bagged. Nokia, this is kind of old news, actually, but Nokia apparently chimed in with everybody else and saying that, you know, war drivers and war talkers are bad. They're bad people. Well, here's a quote. This is theft, plain and simple, wrote Nokia in its advisory. Theft. Theft. I sit down. You know, what if, honestly, seriously, it's so easy. People leave it so wide open, you could literally stumble upon it. You could just, you not even want to do it, just happen to have your nick in, sit on a park bench, boot up, there's a WAPNIC store wide open, you're on the network. Well, shit, I'll use it. What the fuck?
I've got a better one. You know, you happen to be walking by someone's building at night, and they have a resource there known as light, and they have that only for their employees, and you happen to walk through that light, and you're stealing their resources.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That ambient light.
That's right.
Bring it from some other place, just kind of like the wireless does, right? It's you're walking through that light, and you happen to be stealing the resources. So they're going to, you know, I guess we're going to have, instead of war talking, we're going to have war lighting and all this other stuff coming up now, too, and they're going to decry that as bad and theft.
So absurdity runs rampant. Now, this isn't stupid, it's just scary. Microsoft, now I just saw this today. I went and got, if you heard the opening music, that's Glassjaw, their last album, one of my favorites. I went and bought that today. And I also, I go check out the networking hardware at this large store. And, oh my God, I was scared. I was disgusted. I saw boxes and boxes of Microsoft networking hardware. I don't see the point.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I heard about it. You know, they were talking about doing that. And they generally make, you know, kind of middle-of-the-road type of stuff.
Yeah, their mice kind of suck. I'd rather buy Logitech any day. It was scary. The boxes were all white, and they were all. It was weird. It was really, really weird. The products, like their wireless routers and their cable. I don't know if there was cable on it. There's definitely a wireless router. I thought it was ugly. I mean, it was like they're trying to be Mac or something, you know. But silver, and I you know, the Linksys. It looks cool. It looks good. You know, it looks like a piece of networking hardware. This is just hideous. Who knows how it handles? Who knows how it works? For all we know, it's like they're Win Ethernet cards, right?
Yeah, that's there's been some talk about that on the net, and that they do it like Win modems, whereby they take have some of the processing going on in the computer as opposed to all being done on the card. They make it proprietary for Windows machines at that point. You know, think about how hard it is and how very few, if any, I don't know, maybe you know this, Duel, if you can get any Win modems working in Linux. Because the processing of a lot of the stuff has to be done by the computer rather than by the card. So if they take and put some of that Wi-Fi stuff in, rather than being on the card itself, if they put some of that and have that processing done by the PC, they've effectively locked that into their platform.
Yeah, and made the hardware cheaper. I mean, that's the original goal. But and we don't have to tell our listeners this. Avoid, like the plague, Win modems and computers with shared video memory. Don't buy that shit, you know. Build your own box. Have it built somewhere at a really good shop. Don't.
Now, the shared video memory isn't that big of a deal. X supports it. Most of the other things support that. But
still, there's no point to it. There's no point. You don't have to do that. Memory's cheap enough. You can buy a good Asus board, buy a good processor, put a shitload of memory in it, get a good video card. And you know what? Because I run Linux, I made sure that when I built my box, a new hot rod, after we got rid of the Pentium 133 that the show started on, moment of silence for the P133, Okay. I didn't go buy the latest, greatest shit. First of all, it's expensive. Second of all, I knew it would be well-supported in modern distros for Linux. And it was. Everything out of the box. I didn't buy the latest Odyssey. I didn't buy the latest GeForce 4. You know, I got some stuff that wasn't the newest. I saved money, and it was all well-supported. And I didn't have to go buy some crappy HP they're selling at Walmart for $560. It's not a good deal that you can't even get your hand in. It's like buying a freaking Hyundai car or something. It's, yeah. We don't. You know what? We're preaching to the choir here, Rax.
Speaking of, this reminded me of something else, though. There's been a couple of things about that on the wires and that. About Dell, HP apparently dropped their dropped Dell's ability to sell HP printers because Dell was talking about, you know, making their own printers. Well, Dell has for a while been making, you know, mid-range, middling kind of networking equipment, switches, managed switches, unmanaged switches, and so on. And I guess Cisco has dropped them or has talked about dropping them because, I mean, they're basically, you know, they're having their own brand, right? So that's the competition. And 3Com is no longer going to be allowing Dell to sell their product because, you know, they're in competition with them.
Wow.
Dell is designing these things, having them built in Taiwan. And, you know, a lot of the machines themselves, Dell's machines are built in Taiwan. But, in fact, there was something else, too, about, I guess, a certain model of Dell laptop is built, you know, partially overseas, and it's being sold to the federal government, and that's actually against regulations for some, you know, whatever other kind of regulations they have for purchasing. It has to have a certain level of, you know, content built in the U.S., which makes sense. You know, it's your taxpayers' dollars. Why should you, you know, send your money off to a, you know, to a foreign country if it's being paid with taxpayers' dollars? Which is also part of the argument, switching gears here a minute, and from Peru, when they were talking about, you know, using open source software instead of sending all their money off to America and Microsoft. Of course, what did the U.S. do, being you know, the puppets of corporate America? They sent the had the U.S. ambassador to Peru go over and say, no, 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 it's a really good thing if you continue using Microsoft software for the following
You're
reason.
You're kidding. Oh, what the, who is this? I don't know. Sorry.
Nice ringtone, man.
You like that? Is it done? There we go.
Now, do you know who it is?
Yeah, I know who it is. I use that tone because it's annoying, and I respond to it. That's why I use that one. I think it's called Dragon on my... I don't even know what kind of phone I have. Anyways, you know what? I want to go back to your point about the U.S. government buying hardware because it's all made in the U.S. Well, you know what? If I can get a better laptop cheaper, even though it's made overseas, I would rather my taxpayers' dollars be saved by buying that better quality product at a cheaper price. I don't care if it's made here. I mean, that's, I don't know. I think that's bad reasoning. But
well, that's,
it's just me, I guess.
That's part of the part of the buying procedure, the acquisition process.
Yes,
so.
That's the, quote, law. So, no kidding. So the ambassador went over and said, hey, you got to buy Microsoft.
Yep.
Microsoft gives us lots of money.
Yeah, I mean, that, well, you know, all the foreign governments were doing that. There was something about, was it, wasn't British Airways per se, but some you know, some aviation company, some airline company or something in Britain is going Linux. You know, it's kind of flowing out all over the world. Obviously, you know, the whole open source movement is a, you know, doesn't see the geopolitical boundaries. So countries and companies, matter of fact, the German government, by the way, I can't remember the name of the project, but for K has, I wouldn't say sponsored, but they basically commissioned a company to write a work-alike for, like, Microsoft Outlook and a couple of other things.
Groupware.
A groupware type of product, right?
No, it's called, yeah, and it's called Groupware with a K.
With a K. And there's, I can't remember the name of the product, but that's, you know, close to being functionally equivalent to Microsoft Exchange, and now they'll have the client type of thing. So that's actually very cool that the German government is sponsoring that. And are underwriting it, or they're paying for the initial development of it because it's something they need, and then it'll be, you know, open source for the rest of the world to get at.
As well it should be. As well it should be. I hope that this momentum, and I maybe I'm hopeful, you know, maybe I'm imagining that I'm feeling this, but I do. I feel like there is momentum that adoption by government agencies, by companies, by people moving to Linux. And I'm not going to say that I preach it, but I definitely try to make people realize, try to open their eyes that, hey, there's other ways to do this. you know, better ways to do this, more secure, more inexpensive ways to do the same thing. And everybody should, to me, do the same thing, you know. Boot up NotPix for somebody and get on the net. You'll win somebody over, I guarantee it.
The scary part of things is that, you know, the whole digital rights management thing and all that other...
God damn.
Intel has committed to building the support for Palladium, which is Microsoft's digital rights management initiative. They've committed to building that into the chips, and I think it was this past week that AMD announced that they're going to do that as well.
Are you serious? I didn't notice that.
Well, I mean, AMD can't afford not to, because, you know, like it or not, Microsoft still is the dominant player.
Right.
And if your processor doesn't support that, you know, and they come out with, instead of Windows XP, maybe it's, you know, Windows XYZ or whatever the hell they're going to call the next version, your processor doesn't support it, bam, you just lock yourself out of sales. So they can't afford not to. The scary thing about that is if Microsoft and all these other companies that are doing this crap have their way, if some clever hacker, and again I'm using hacker in the original sense of the term, if some clever hacker out there figures out a way to circumvent it, guess what? You're a felon. It will be a federal felony to bypass that digital rights management stuff. And technically, even then, anything that can do it, Linux, and this isn't original stuff, this has all been written about, but Linux could basically become illegal because you have the source code, because you can write all this stuff, you can circumvent that, it would not be a quote-unquote trusted operating system, therefore it could theoretically be illegal. So that would leave us with two operating systems again, Windows and Mac.
Yeah, and guess what, listeners? It's already happening. It is already happening. In England, if I'm correct, the author of the Torn Rootkit was arrested for authoring software, for writing code, for doing just what Rax said. This is not bypassing, you know, media conglomerates' hold on the, you know, the media that you purchased, you know, rightfully. This was to, you know, circumvent security measures in computers. But it's still very, very similar. Just for writing something, just for viewing something that you purchase, you're going to go to jail. And this is not right. And it's going to start creeping into your lives. That's another thing. If hardware starts to implement, and it will, and it already probably has, the blueprints are drawn, as DRM is implemented, it's going to make your hardware, your old hardware, even that more valuable. So I said it again, and I'm going to say, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again, hang on to your old hardware. You're going to want it. You're going to be able to do things that these, you know, the sheep going to Walmart can't do because of their DRM restrictions. Now, wait a minute. Holy moly. Are you going to get busted for having an old computer with no DRM?
No, it also brings up the next thing about television. When they force and mandate that everyone has to have, you know, a digital TV so they can, quote-unquote, plug the analog hole, as Jack Valenti likes to say, first of all, you know, how are they going to dispose of all of those? And second of all, where the hell is everyone going to come up with the money? You know, every man, woman, and child in America and, you know, the rest of the civilized world, well, you know, and I use that term loosely, but I'm assuming that foreign governments aren't... forcing digital TV down everyone's throat, but let's just focus on America and Canada now, per se. Where is everyone going to come up with the money to buy new TVs, and where are they going to put the old ones?
Fuck that!
And are you going to be arrested if you have an old TV? You have outlawed hardware. That's
holy
like
shit.
Saying, you know what? You can't drive that 62 Mustang anymore.
Dude, Tales from the After Now is coming true. It is coming to pass. I'm so... Man, I haven't been this pissed and frustrated. All right, I'm going to tell you right fucking now. From the beginning of the goddamn show, I've been pissed off. I've been holding it in. I've been, you know, I've been stammering and stumbling because I've been so goddamn pissed of all this shit that's going on. This Stephen Puffer, these motherfuckers don't secure their network, and he shows them, you know, so he tests it out before he goes and tells them about it. Big fucking deal. He goes and tells them about it, he gets busted and indicted. Hackers who get busted. Well, no, that guy was a criminal. He killed himself. Holy shit. Unbelievable. And then these motherfuckers that kill their own daughters by drowning them in water, making them drink so much water, are released. They are free. You know, even if a disgruntled employee goes back to his company and fucks up a couple of files, big fucking deal. You know what? He goes to jail for 5 years. Holy shit, what the fuck is that about? All right.
And you forgot to take your Ritalin this morning.
Dude, I don't know what has pissed me off. Maybe I'm just grumpy from not eating or what, but I've been mad. I have been mad and frustrated from the beginning of the show. And
30 episodes, you've been holding that in. Do you feel better now?
I don't know. You know, I think I ran it a couple of times in past episodes, but this needed to be done. I mean, this is just...
another one, that woman that's looked around in that parking lot of whatever, then beat the snot out of her little 4-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, I've been a mother for 6 years, and this is the first time this has happened.
Right, first time you've been caught on tape.
Yeah.
And believe me, I got spanked. I got, you know, damn. I had to 1x2 steak to my ass. Who cares? I'm fine. I deserved it. I was an ass. You know? But beating the shit out of your little girl, that's a bit much. Okay. All right, enough.
Let's change gears here.
Let's
talk about this a while.
Hold on. Let's take deep breaths. In through the nose.
Happy thoughts.
Out through the mouth.
Fluffy little clouds.
Let's get away from the asshole congressmen, the people who run this country.
Yeah, okay, keep it to yourself. Inside thoughts. What I'm going to do is, we talked about this a while back. From DEF CON, there was in their conference guide, there was a great little article. It's called "It's All a Hack" by a guy named Ming. I'm just going to read this to you, but I've alluded to this before, and I listened to a back episode and said, "Oh yeah, I got to talk about that." So
read away, Rex.
Very seldom, if ever, that anyone thinks of something so entirely new that it doesn't owe something to a previous invention. Isaac Newton once said, quote, "If I've seen further, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants," unquote. And that's something coming from an ego the size of Newton's. As one might well imagine, giants aren't always happy about people standing on their shoulders, and so all this must be done in a stealthy manner. This is where hackers come in. A lot. If hacking is a misapplication of technology, then all technology comes from hacking. And not just for large values of all, I mean the whole thing. If no one uses things for unintended purposes, we'd be still throwing rocks at wildebeest and eating bugs with our hands. When the Wright brothers built their first airplane that worked worth a damn, they were building it out of bicycle parts. They didn't just get the idea all of a sudden one day in the form of the AutoCAD file. They sat around their bike shop looking at bicycle parts all day, and the whole thing fell together around the parts. Smart guys using stuff at hand in new ways. They did plenty of new work on the project. They fabricated new parts. They did some great work improving power-to-weight ratio of the engines, but it was all inspired by ordinary stuff that they dealt with every day. Most people are perfectly content to use the items they have around them in just the way they were intended, with the possible exception of the screwdriver. If the available tools and the prescribed methods can't do the job, then the job really doesn't need to be done anyway. And Friends is on in only a few minutes. Wilbur and Orville Wright weren't like these people. Bicycles did not fly, and the Wrights had a problem with that. They solved the problem, and now people are willing to pay hundreds of dollars, stand in line for hours, and get strip searched just for the privilege of riding in airplanes. It's a good thing that the BIMAA, that's the Bicycle Manufacturers Industry Association of America, didn't try to pass laws to stop spare bike parts from being used in unauthorized ways. All innovation is misapplication, and all refinement is reverse engineering. An internal combustion engine can only work if it can blow up at a carefully measured, well-stirred mixture of fuel and air. The first time anyone got that to work properly, they stuck a perfume atomizer on a fuel hose. Today we call it a carburetor, and it still isn't fundamentally different from a perfume atomizer. Fuel injection is a refinement. It's more complex, but more controlled way that delivers the air-fuel mixture. Starting from the needed mixture already supplied by the carburetor, people worked out methods of getting that mixture into a finer level of control. Fuel injection was developed by reverse engineering the carburetor. By studying the operation of the carburetor, researchers gained enormous understanding on the way that liquids and solids mix and developed more efficient and controlled ways to bring that about. Fuel injection is a reverse engineering of a hack. It's a good thing the CIMAA, that's the Carburetor Manufacturers Industry Association of America, didn't try to, well, you know where this is going. It's common wisdom to say that, quote, use the right tool for the right jobs. But what do you do when the right tool isn't available or doesn't exist? And what if that tool here might do the job if it were twisted around like so? The truth is, common wisdom is often useless. Common wisdom held up until a few hundred years ago, that tomatoes were poisonous. There are many who tell you that it's not right to misuse anything. There are many who will try to put you in jail for reverse engineering. Is this any way to run a civilization? Everyone seems to want new stuff. I'm sure even Jack Valeni and Michael Eisner want new stuff. Well, this is how you get it. You allow, if not actively encourage, people to twist old stuff into new stuff. You convince the giants, who are often dim and quick to anger, that it's a good thing for people to stand on their shoulders. In fact, intellectual property is not only a legal fiction, it's a bad fiction. The plot gets lost and the dialogue isn't very clear. The intention of intellectual property law is to reward innovation by granting an innovator a temporary monopoly, allowing him a head start to make money on his invention before the rest of the industry can close in. The key word is temporary in the sense of limited time, rather than the sense of 60-year-old Quonset hut that still 60-year-old Quonset huts that still house the math department at my old high school. It isn't supposed to be property so much as a permit to use. For patents and copyrights to be any stronger or last any longer than the barest minimum necessary to fulfill their function is a complete reversal of the whole point of intellectual property law. If that point is to encourage innovation for the good of the community, not to protect the right of a few obnoxious companies to get more obnoxious. People getting filthy rich off their good ideas does my heart good. People getting one extra dime by making innovation harder makes me sick. I'm writing this in the USA. The USA was once the biggest manufacturer of power in the world. It isn't anymore. It used to be the big leader in natural resources, but that's starting to slip. We may still have more guns than anyone else, but that won't last forever. One thing that we produce on a, quote, world leader scale is innovation. We have the money to fund research and the willingness to drop tradition when it starts to mold. That stuff is, the stuff that's mass-produced for the world by Japan, Korea, and all the other manufacturing countries is largely invented in the USA. We, in the U.S., will never maintain our lead in innovation if mindless greed makes us bite the hand that feeds us. Yet we're leading the way in software patents and anti-reverse engineering legislation. We're passing laws against the things we need to survive. It's like holding your breath, trying to keep others from getting your oxygen. If we go down this stupid road far enough, we'll end up like some of the ancient countries of Europe, trying to earn a few crumbs, pointing out out to tourists how cool we used to be. We need all the hacking we can get. In the end, that's where the money and the glory comes from anyway. There were people who were unhappy about Gutenberg reworking a wine press into a printing press. They said they were stupid people. They wouldn't even be a footnote today if Gutenberg hadn't invented his movable type. It's all a hack.
That was great, Rex.
Well, I didn't write it, unfortunately.
But you wrote it very well. That was very poignant. And it doesn't just, you know, it doesn't just apply to computers. It can apply to phones. You're freaking. You find a phone number. You know, guess what? It's meant for one thing. But you know what? You say, hey, I can use this phone number and call this operator and get something else out of it. You know, it does anything you touch, everything around you. You can change it. You can use it for something else. You can create. And it's being stifled. It's totally, utterly being stifled. And like Rex said, for a dime. We have to get over this. And it keeps getting worse. I keep hoping that, oh, wait, a light bulb will turn on. And somebody will say, wait, you know what, this isn't right. We've got a new way to do this. You know, and we'll still make lots of money, but we'll create something in the process. It's just not happening.
Now, the only thing I can see that's maybe possibly a turn towards that is, and it's, we're kind of coming back around full circle on the show here. We started off with that Enron auction, and Enron getting their just dessert, you know, being basically broken up. Although who knows how many people walked away with how much money from that. But that point aside, you know, that's kind of the epitome of corporate greed. You've got that guy at Tyco. This is great. We were talking about this in the gym this morning. You know, not only did the CEO of Tyco, who a toy manufacturer, who basically, I guess the company got really rich off the whole Beanie Baby thing, which was, although don't get me started on that, but, so he gave himself like $100 million loan from the company, and then he forgave himself the loan. The company was paying for his Manhattan apartment, paying for this, paying for that. Well, I guess the big thing was he had a birthday party for his wife. I can't remember the guy's name, but he had a birthday party for his wife in Sardinia, which is, you know, an island between Italy and France, and I'm not sure if it belongs to Italy or belongs to France, but it was a $1 million birthday party. And he had, you know, all this stuff and all this opulent food and everything else, and he had a full-size carving in ice of Michelangelo's David statue. And this is just the epitome of excess. So in this statue, right?
It's a big statue, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great statue. It's all done in ice. I'm sure it looks great. But yeah. In this statue, coming out of the penis of this ice version of David is vodka. It's just flowing continually. $1 million for this birthday party for his wife. You know, I guess the guy thought he was the king of the world.
I guess so. Well, where is he now?
But anyway, so now, so with all that corporate greed and finally becoming, you know, coming to the attention of people, maybe, just maybe, we're starting to get the idea that, you know, that isn't really so cool. It isn't really so cool, especially like if you're an investor in that company. It's like, wait a minute, he spent $1 million on that, or he gave himself $100 million loan. You know, as the hell, I'd like to give myself a $10 loan some days, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, so maybe as we start doing this, and as all this stuff starts to become uncovered, and we shine the, you know, the light of scrutiny into these dark practices that corporate America is doing, maybe, just maybe, we'll start to realize that these things aren't a good thing. You know, there's, and speaking of copyright now, we've got to link this off the site, but you can go to the EFF, which is, you know, again, where we're donating all the money for the stickers, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org. And on resources, in the upper right-hand corner, they have Larry Lessig's speech at OSICON, which is the Open Source Developers Conference. And it is a flash presentation. It has the audio track of Lessig speaking and, you know, key points brought out in flash. And it goes into talking about all this stuff. And it literally goes back to the origin of copyright and when it was developed and why it was developed and it was overturned and so on and so forth. We took our copyright laws, like most of our laws in America, came from England. And he goes all the way back into, like, the 1600s talking about this thing and where it was overturned. And this was extended and that was extended. And the whole Sonny Bono thing now is, they call that last extension, I guess, the Sonny Bono Law, because he lobbied for it in Congress before he killed himself by hitting a tree. Or, you know, really, I think the tree jumped out and, you know, was an assassin, but anyways, you can hear the whole speech, and it's just fascinating. He goes back into all this stuff, but Sonny Bono said that copyright should be forever. He said, well, it should actually be forever minus one day. But behind this, and we've talked about this before, and I think there's even links to that on the EFF, there's like Free the Mouse, the little Free the Mouse logo. Disney is majorly behind all this copyright protection. Because when Steamboat Willie, which was the original Mickey Mouse cartoon, done in the 20s or whatever it was, I think 1928, Zapper said a couple of weeks back, every time Mickey Mouse runs the risk of falling into the public domain because that time has expired, Disney pushes and lobbies and gets the copyright extended.
Yeah, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just fascinating listening to this stuff. Definitely check out Larry Lessig's speech, and we'll put a link to that on the site, but it's just mind-boggling when you start to take a look at all these things and start to kind of see a little bit more of the bigger picture, you know, and you start to get away from that cheap mentality, you know, like you're not watching Must See Thursday and you're doing other things, you're surfing the web, you're listening to alternative media sources like Rant Radio and what we try to do here on Radio Freak America. Once you start bucking the trend, you know, and we've got to make this. We have to. I think Sean Kennedy was talking about that today. You got to spread the virus. You know, we really need to have viral infection of people of knowledge, yeah. Not just all the crap that they're pouring on you.
Yeah, and you know what? Once you cut yourself loose, once you get away from that addiction that is mainstream media, radio, TV, I tell you what. Once you live in the real world for a little while and start learning some things, start reading, start listening to alternative music and alternative media. If you go back to it, if you try it again, you'll be disgusted. It will give you a headache. You'll be repulsed. I cannot stand TV. I do not watch broadcast TV. I do not at all.
Well, I watch a couple of little shows.
I don't have cable. I don't watch TV. I do not. I'm too busy. There's too many things I want to do. And when I do watch it, it sucks. It just sucks. I could see some, if there was good sci-fi, maybe, like, I used to watch the old Doctor Who. Wait a minute, that was PBS. Oh, my God.
That was actually British.
I know, and then it was played on the, my local PBS station, and that's what I watched, you know, that was enjoyable.
No, I liked Farscape, but I've been thinking about that. Farscape, maybe pull the plug partially with this. I haven't seen this, but Firefly on Fox, you know, a lot of people were talking about that. Maybe, you know, maybe that'll be good sci-fi. Who knows?
Yeah. So, you know, that's fantastic. That makes you think, you know, that makes you ponder what the future might be. You know, that's not quite as bad as, I don't know, like Greg Brady, you know, I don't know.
Thing,
yeah, well, I can't even think of something. Yeah, watching people in a house go to the bathroom or whatever they have on broadcast TV nowadays. You cut yourself loose and you'll be sick. Okay, and now what can you do, listeners? First, you can visit digitalrights.org. You can visit the EFF. You can educate yourself and, you know, if not buy our stickers to donate to the EFF, do something else to help. You know, it doesn't have to be money, you know.
Make a donation yourself. I mean, they've got hats. You can, you know, they got baseball hats. They've got stickers there. I mean,
well, it doesn't even have to be money. You don't have to spend money to do something, you know, to make a difference. And second, you can do other things that are probably much more fun, and that is be a consumer of anything else but mainstream media. Listen to rant radio. Listen to internet radio stations. Read the small rags in your town. Write your own stories. Why don't you start writing? Why don't you make a show? You know, you know what you want. Go out and make it. Go out and propagate the use of Linux. Really, I mean, make an effort. The only reason I'm using Windows is to stream this show. I got Audacity running in Linux, but I can't get the input. I can do everything else. I can play, I can mix. I can't get the input. So if anybody has experience with Audacity and Linux, let me know. And streaming the show. Otherwise, I would not use Windows. You know? And I want everybody, all the listeners, to do the same. Make an effort to use Linux. First of all, it's damn fun. Second of all, you're going to learn a lot. And third, you're going to help the cause. And
Part of the other thing, too, that people can do dual and, you know, with no money and just a little bit of effort on their part is to, you know, start talking to your friends about it rather than talking about, oh, did you see, you know, the Osbournes last night or did you see The Real World or, you know, whatever the other schlock that they're dishing out at you. You know, start bringing up some of these other things. Hey, did you hear about, you know, that Stephen Puffer guy that was busted for, you know, word driving? Did you hear about this? Did you see that? Did you, you know, do you know about these things? Start, you know, being it's activism or it's hacktivism, as it's called. You take, you know, you're doing things for larger, you know, the larger good, the greater good.
Yeah, it's a great idea. You know, the listeners of this show, you know, listeners to Rant, of Rant Radio are a rare breed. Definitely, a rare breed in this society.
Knowledge is power. It always has been. It always will be. You know, the quote from Frank Herbert and Dune, he who controls the spice controls the universe. Well, he who controls the power controls the universe, right? He who controls knowledge. So that's what they want to do. They want to keep you fat, dumb, and happy watching the TV shows.
Right.
I think I talked about this before, but the, you know, in Russia, in communist Russia, the USSR, when all that was going on, the communist government controlled, you know, all the newspapers, they controlled all the printing media and everything. And one of the things that helped to fall, and I know this firsthand because I was at a presentation where someone from Russia was talking about this, is they smuggled in a bootleg copy of Adobe PageMaker, and they started printing up their own flyers and passing it to each other. They set up computer bulletin boards, and people would walk around, and they would pass each other the phone number because they had to move the computer from house to house to keep the KGB from finding it. So if you can control knowledge, if you can control information, you can control the people. That's the same thing that you control, you know, basically going back, you know, to Gutenberg, who we mentioned earlier, the mass populace was illiterate. They couldn't read. Only the royalty, upper class, and the clergy could read. So they used that power to control the masses. Once books, you know, once it was practical to print a book, and, you know, the Bible was the first one done, I mean, it would take monks years to, you know, handwrite a version of the Bible. So once that was first done and people started getting that information, you could pass things along without having to, you know, take years to do something, or you could, you know, have instructions on how to build a house or how to make something. That could be easily passed along, and they lost all the power base, you know, they being the establishment. So now the power is the media. They're controlling all that. They're controlling what you listen to. It's like, you know, the old Outer Limits, we control the vertical, we control the horizontal. You know, they're controlling what we see, what we think, how we relate to things, you know, all that type of stuff. Once you start breaking out from all this thing, as Duell has said, and you start looking at things and start to see things a little bit more for the way they really are, that's very empowering. And, you know, do yourself and do your friends a favor, too. Start talking about this stuff, again, you know, rather than talking about what was the latest thing on the show. I'm repeating myself. Go take a Duell.
Do you think we're powerful? Do you think the community, you know, do you think the people listening around radio, our listeners, hackers, freakers, do you think we have power?
Absolutely. I mean, Emmanuel Goldstein even said this on the last 2600, is the FBI, I guess it's the third, hackers are basically third on the FBI's hit list.
I read that. It does not say hackers anywhere in that.
Oh, no, that was just paraphrasing.
Yeah.
It was paraphrasing as well, but it was, I don't know, they're using cyber terrorists.
Yeah, you search Google for hacker and cyber terrorist, and they're intrinsically linked. It does not use the word hacker on the FBI site, but it definitely describes cyber crimes, quote, cyber crimes. Maybe we do have power. I hope we do. You know, whether we do or not, I don't think is a problem. I think there's just always a thirst for knowledge and learning.
Knowledge is power.
That's and you know what? I guess I had, and I know you do too, Rax, a desire to, you know, hopefully implement some change, you know? And instill the desire to learn in other people, and hopefully they'll want to change and change others.
And that's the original hacker ethic. I learn something cool. I figure out a cool way around something. I share that information with you, just like we talked about in that article from Ming. You stand on my shoulders, and you come up with something new, and you share that with somebody else, and they come up with something new. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Again, that's the way civilization was formed.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's the original hacker ethic. You know, so if you go to some of these meetings, you go to your 2600 meetings, you go, the Slashdot meetup is again tomorrow now. You go to some of these things, you hang out with some of the people, you talk to them and share ideas and share things. I mean, that's how this show got started. Duell came to a couple of shows, and a few of us were talking, and he said, hey, I got this idea, let's do this, you know, it'd be so much fun to do this radio show thing. You know, and it was just, and it just built from there. I mean, you know, so that's the thing. You take, and you've admitted this before, you know, what, you know, between 2600, but, you know, Hacker Mind and all that, those were inspirations for you doing it, wasn't it, Duell?
Yes, big time.
You know, so you stand on the shoulders of those giants. You look at something that's been done before, and you figure out a better way to do it. Build a better mousetrap, and the world will be a path to your door, right?
That's right.
Think about those things. Think about what you could take and do and improve. And share that knowledge with somebody.
You know, we've had so many shows. The past few shows have been technologically based. How did this? You know what? I think all of this has been building up, man. I really do. I think we've had all of this. This ranting has been pent up, and we let it out this show. That's for sure. Next show, I've got a bunch of phone calls to make. I don't know. Should we do them now or wait?
I don't know how we're doing on time. I got one more thing I said I'd check into and talk about that. That's the Sprint prepaid internet.
Hey, some technology. Bring it on.
Sprint prepaid internet. It's still for the Slingshot update is that they haven't updated their site. They're still selling off all their stuff. So I wouldn't hold my breath on this other company necessarily taking things over. So you can go down to your local 7-Eleven, or you can go to Sprint PPI for SprintPrepaidInternet.com. You can buy it on the web, or you can buy it in person. And again, folks, buy it in person, pay cash so they don't have any identifying information about you. Prepay for your internet access. $20 for 1,200 minutes, $30 for 2,000 minutes. Figure that out. That's like a penny and a half a minute that you're online for local phone calls. You can recharge that access account via the web, but you do need to use a major credit card. So there's a very simple answer for that. When your $20 or $30 thing runs out, hey, go buy another one.
No doubt. It
doesn't really matter. Pay cash, and you've got that anonymity. You know, I'm not going to end up using Joe Doe at SprintPPI.com. I'm going to use whatever email I choose to use. So yes, you can do it. You can buy it anonymously. If you want to do the recharge, you have to end up using a credit card.
Yeah, screw that. Okay, good. Ending on technology. I like that. Next week I'm going to have... All right, next week, we were supposed to have a couple, either one of two guests today, and both of them, neither of them can make it, unfortunately. And that's fine. People are busy. They've got lives. So hopefully next week we'll have a special guest. I'm not going to jinx either one by telling which one it might be or what the choices are, but hopefully next week, special guest. And I've got a lot of good freaking, I've got a lot of good phone calls to make. So next week, more technology. In fact, let's, you know, I'm going to make a solemn promise. Next week, all technology, baby. What's the closing music tonight, Rex?
Well, I think it's fine. We talked about it earlier. There's a couple of different versions of it, but we said Eat the Media. There's a song called Eat the Rich, so I'm going to see if I can dig that one up.
Excellent. Thanks, Rex. Have a good night, man.
You're on Keep Knowledge Free.
Later, listeners.
Stop it, fucking stupid, you!